I'm Jen Schrader, and this is Behind the Springs, conversations with the people working for you in Colorado Springs, Olympic City, USA.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Jen. I'm just kidding. My name is not Jen. This is Mayor Yemi here. I know you're used to having Jen, but you're having me today because I actually get the chance to interview two very special guests, and I'll get to them in a little bit of why they are here. As you know, we got Veterans Day coming up November 11th, and every day and all year long, we recognize our veterans, those who have served our country and our nation, and we pause to honor those who have sacrificed so much to protect our freedoms. And personally, this holiday means a lot to me because I started this morning actually with saying a few words to a group of new Americans at a naturalization ceremony at 21C Library. And 6 years ago, I was in that room. You know, raising my right hand to swear my allegiance to this great country. And I know freedom doesn't come without a price. And the reason why the United States of America is so special and so many people like me want to become citizens is because of people who have served to protect our freedoms. So I've often heard that the heart of a service member is not like everyone else. It's as precious as gold, as strong as a diamond, and it's the heart of an American hero. And speaking of an American hero, I met one this past Saturday at the Veterans Day Parade. His name is Walter. He is 99 years old, and he's still crushing it. He will be 100 years old this coming June 2024. Walter served when he was 24 years old in the United States Army Air Forces. So the Air Force was even birthed at the time when he served in World War II. So it felt like meeting a legend. I felt so humbled. I just wanted to bow to him. And Walter is not slowing down anytime soon. So there is an estimated number of almost 90,000 veterans that live in Colorado Springs. That's about 17% of our population. To put it in perspective, the national average is 7%. Colorado Springs was recently named one of the, I think, number 7 top city for best place for veterans to live. And we've consistently ranked high in many of these rankings. You know, we were the proud home to 5 military installations, Cheyenne Mountain, Schriever, Peterson, Air Force Academy, and Fort Carson. And now bringing it home into why you guys are here. The city of Colorado Springs, we have about 3,000 people that work for this city in many, serving in many different capacities from, you know, law enforcement to firefighters to public works and finance and even some of our city council members are also in that community of veterans. So 3,000 people. And 18% of our population are veterans, about 550 of you all. So we are proud of being a top employer for veterans. I always say that, you know, they're some of our best workforce because of the having gone through the military, you learn a lot with discipline and structure. So it's prime workforce for the city. So I'm glad that we have a number of veterans working here. So now to our guest of honor. I am honored to be sitting with you, Corey Farkas, and Christina Maddox. And both of you have both served in the United States military. Corey is our operations and maintenance manager for Public Works. Is that correct? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. And Christina is one of our favorite SROs. Don't tell the other SROs I said that. School resource officer, and you're at Jenkins and Russell Middle Schools.
Yes.
And I got to meet you actually this summer at that Teen Academy. What a special program to infuse the next generation of teenagers with just great leadership. And so thank you for joining us and behind the podcast today.
Pleasure.
Behind the Springs podcast.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Okay, so let's start. We'd love to hear about Christina, we're going to start with you. I want to hear about your military service and what branch and how many years did you serve?
Sure. So I served about 3 years with the Army National Guard.
Okay.
I did my training at Fort Linwood, Missouri, as a 31 Bravo, which is military police.
Okay.
And I was stationed at the 136 Military Police Battalion in Tyler, Texas. And it was pretty cool because that's where I was going to college, too.
Where did you go to school?
I went to UT Tyler.
Okay.
And I got my bachelor's degree there for criminal justice. But it was just a lot of fun. I met a lot of good people, a lot of good battle buddies that I still talk to this day. And did just train throughout Texas at Fort Bliss and El Paso. Did some in Kansas for a couple weeks. But it was a really amazing experience.
That's awesome. And how many years did you serve total?
Three.
Okay, you said three. Mm-hmm. And how did you transition from military service to what did you do next?
So it was actually, it definitely worked out in my favor.
Okay.
Because typically you serve 6 years in the National Guard, but I did three and was honorably discharged. So literally a month after I was discharged, I applied with the Dallas Police Department in Texas. And I got into their police academy.
Okay.
So it was awesome because they gave me that first stepping stone of, you know, being trained like we were talking about, giving you that military bearing,
right.
Discipline, firearms, like combative stuff.
Right.
So it kind of gave me that little bit of edge that I could apply to my resume when I applied. So it was really, really, it was good.
I really like that what you had done in the military, like you've had a clear purpose and calling in terms of what you've done from your bachelor's degree to even your time in the military as a law enforcement officer, public service, and now outside of the military. So you got the best of all of it.
I did. Since the third grade, I knew I wanted to be a police officer. So everything I did up to becoming a police officer was to get to that goal.
Wow.
So college, military, anything
I could
do.
What inspired you to want to become a police
officer? Honestly, I just had a passion for helping people. Okay. I liked solving problems. I was a peer mediator in the fifth grade trying to solve disputes between my friends. Like it was literally like a position in my middle school. So it's just, I just had that heart, like I just want to help people.
Wow.
And it's just driven me to this point.
Mm, so good.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're talking about that too. No, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Corey, what about you? What's your story?
Yeah, so I was in the Air Force, United States. United States Air Force.
I'm sorry for our loss this past weekend.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Just shy of 10 years.
Okay.
In the Air Force. I also spent time at Fort Leonard Wood. That's where my tech school was. I was a pavements and heavy equipment troop in the Air Force. Oh. So I was in Civil Engineer Squadron. We were affectionately known as the Dirt Boys because we played in the dirt quite a bit. Mm. And so did my schooling over at Fort Leonard Wood. And I was stationed for the entirety of my duty here in Colorado Springs. And that was due to, I kind of had a dual role. I was in civil engineering. I was also on the world-class athlete program, so
that's right.
Being trained here. So
I heard a little rumor. Yes. We have a Olympic athlete here.
Yes, yeah, I used to dabble.
You did more than dabble. I actually saw a really cool picture of you in action wrestling.
Yeah,
That's a whole different podcast. We'll come back to that one. No, that's excellent.
Yeah, it was a great time, great 10 years, and. Put down roots in Colorado Springs and decided to stay.
Well, I'm glad you both decided to stay, and thank you both for serving. So let's Corey, let's flip the page. Let's talk about how you ended up in Colorado Springs. I see a lot of similarities to like Christina, where a lot of the expertise you're providing in the military you have now brought to the city of Colorado Springs. So you're both in doing what you've always wanted to do. But what led to your decision to come to the city of Colorado Springs? How did that all come about? And then just talk a little bit about what you do for the city.
Okay, so obviously, being a civil engineer troop in the Air Force, I was doing a lot of what our folks are doing today right here in the city. So plowing snow, filling potholes, all of the fun stuff that we get to do. After getting out of the military in 2004, I got on with a local home builder and then eventually with a company that was doing all of the base housing at Schriever and Peterson Air Force Base. So I was giving back to the military and in providing that new base housing out there. that company actually, very similar to the military, travels. You know, they do large projects and they travel. So they said, well, we'd like to move you to Chicago or New York. And I said, no, thank you. That's when I really started looking, and a position became available here at the city of Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And so I jumped on that. And it actually wasn't the position that I'm in currently.
Okay. What was it? Which position was that?
It was in my division, operations and maintenance, but it was as a program supervisor.
Okay.
And shortly after I was hired, the division manager left, and that position was posted. My wife told me, don't you dare put in for that position. We don't need that kind of stress. And they didn't hire the position, so they reposted it a second time. And I told her, I'm putting in for that position. And when she asked me why, I said, because I think I can make a difference. Mm. And that was 10 years ago.
That is the extension of who you are, even your decision to join the military, right. Showing up at with the city of Colorado Springs. I think I can make a difference. That's huge. Well, I'm glad your work is really important.
Yeah.
I as mayor, I'm getting even more of a bird's eye view into the work you're doing. I saw the data around the snow plowing from the snow we had about 9 days ago, and your work with 2C to maintain our roads and stay ahead of some of the challenges with our sidewalks and gutters and curbs. I really do appreciate the work you're doing.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. And, you know, I always tell people that I'm truly blessed to be able to work with a team that is passionate about what they do and care so much for their community. You know, the folks from operating the plows to administering all the big programs, you know, I really do have a fantastic team.
That's great. Well, thank you. Yep. And Christina, your turn. So let's pick up from your story.
Okay.
What brought you to the city of Colorado Springs? And tell us a little bit about your work as a school resource officer.
Sure. So I served 6 years with Dallas Police Department. And honestly, it was kind of on a whim that we ended up in Colorado Springs. My sister moved here about a year before I did, but we have no other roots here. We honestly moved because of weather. Mm. And it just, Texas heat, the bugs, I wasn't having it. And I was like, let's go check out Colorado Springs. And kind of fell in love with it. We thought it was beautiful.
Okay, you're not.
I know. And I applied. And then I got, you know, hired on in 2018.
Okay.
So I'm actually about to hit my 5 years this month.
Excellent.
CSPD.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Did patrol for a couple of years. And then I heard about the school resource unit and applied. I was like, if I wasn't a police officer, I would be like a PE coach or something like that. And I was like, to combine the two, I thought that would be amazing. And I never thought about it until the position opened up. Mm. And I was like, I'll go for it. And I got the position. And then this is my third year going into the school.
Okay.
You know, the SRO unit.
Right.
It's been a blast. And it's just having an impact in the kids' lives, right. Being that positive light for them, kind of showing them that police officers are human beings and let them actually talk to an officer every day. I think, you know, giving them that opportunity is amazing. And we love being a part of their life and kind of giving them the stepping stones and helping them become successful in life. And our main job is not to throw kids into the system. Like, that's definitely the last thing we want to do.
Right.
But it's still holding kids accountable.
Accountable, right.
But we definitely hone in on, like, restorative justice and working with the schools and doing, like, school punishment, too. But it's been great. It's an amazing job.
Okay. We need to dive into a little bit more of your story. I especially in times like we are today with sometimes school safety, mm-hmm. Being on the top. I'm a parent of young kids. I know Corey has young kids, too, and thank you for the presence of safety, too. So your job is to create that presence of safety, but also I'm hearing a lot of mentoring of the next generation of leaders.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our main job is really just we walk the halls during passing periods. We're out there during their lunchtime, just trying to be there and make ourselves available as much as possible. Because sometimes those kids, they don't realize, like, hey, this is something I should report. And then when they start talking, they're like, hey, this is what's going on. Then we're like, hey, you know, we're going to address this and help them out. So it's really great.
So good. Well, Christina, another question.
Yep.
clearly you value service to others. I mean, you've said it in so many ways. Why do you feel like, or do you feel like it's important for us to have this day of recognition?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, one of the phrases that hit home for me, I had a vacation in Washington, D.C., and we were going through the monuments, and one of the statements was, "Freedom is not free." And that like really hit, that really hit home for me, and it, like it kind of gave me like an emotional response to it, you know. And it's just, it's so true that our brave men and women out there serving their country, fighting for our freedom, just so we can be here and do our everyday lives, like that's huge. And I think like especially for our veterans who are outside of the service now, obviously they're not in uniform anymore,
right?
So they don't get that same kind of recognition, you know. If you're in uniform, they're like, "Hey, thank you for your service,"
true,
you know. And but I think they need to keep hearing it. Right. It's, I mean, it's always awkward when someone says like, "Thank you for your service," and you're like, "Thank you," you know. But we do really appreciate it,
right.
And I think it's just something that continually needs to be done for those that have sacrificed so much, mm-hmm. their time with their families, and
here,
you know, it's just they deal with a lot, and I give them props. People have done a lot more time than I have, and mm-hmm. been on multiple deployments, and it's huge. They should be recognized.
So let me ask you a follow-up question. You know, I was reading this blog recently, and it was a conversation around the phrase "Thank you for your service," mm-hmm. and how best should civilians express gratitude, and to do it in a way that doesn't sound patronizing or flippant. Do you feel like the phrase "Thank you for your service" is that as a veteran? Is that okay? Is that appropriate?
I think it's still okay. I mean, like I said, it's a little bit awkward because it's like to say thank you for, you know, serving. It is what it is, but we can appreciate people's heart and like their actual intent with saying that. Like, it's okay. I mean, there's really no other way of saying it.
Right.
Other than like have people buy me a cup of coffee, and like that speaks volumes too.
It's done.
But it's just, you know, we appreciate it. We understand where they're coming from. There's really no good way to say it.
Just say it.
Yeah, just say it.
Okay. Thank you. What about you, Corey? You clearly value service to others. Do you feel like it's important for us to have this day of recognition? Why?
I do. And I truly appreciate Veterans Day. It's you know, it's one of those days that you know, the school district doesn't have a holiday off. I can tell you that my kids won't be going to school on Friday.
You didn't hear that. Yeah, you got a school resource officer next to you.
Because they'll be sick. But I do. I really do think it's important, you know, because to have a servant's heart, you know, there have been times in history where, you know, a draft has been enacted and folks were, for lack of a better term, potentially forcibly, you know, committed to the military. We don't have that. We haven't had that for many, many years. And so all of these folks that are veterans and that are currently serving now are doing it from the place of a servant's heart.
Right.
And are happy to do it. You know, typically nobody forced me to sign my name when I signed up. And so... So they're doing it from that place, and to simply say thank you and have a day of recognition, I think, is really important.
I'm with you on that.
Recognize that.
And so is thank you for your service appropriate? Do you feel, is it patronizing? Is it flippant? Or can civilians express that?
I think it is appropriate. You know, I mean, it's, you know, again, you know, folks tell me thank you for your service, and you know, I always tell them back, it was my pleasure. You know, it was truly my pleasure to serve and to continue to serve. It's my pleasure to serve our community in the city of Colorado Springs. And that's why I chose this route to continue serving, you know, not on a federal level, but on our city level. You know, I think... again, like I said before, I think those that are, whether you're a civil servant, you know, whether you serve your city, your community, in any capacity, people that have that servant's heart are special.
Thank you, Corey. I in that blog, I was reading a response from different military people, from all different ranks, and one of the things that stood out was gentleman that said, it's okay to say thank you for your service. And he actually rephrased that, and you said it. He said, actually, I would rather people say thank you for serving. Mm. And I thought that continuous tense is really interesting, because the heart that made you say yes to joining the military, even though you've left, that hasn't stopped. You're still serving. Young kids are still looking up to you. And in a culture that is losing the essence of what it means to be a culture of honor, I don't want us to ever stop saying that. I don't ever want us to stop recognizing our military members and people who have served. We need to bring that honor back. I think it's important for our young people to see. So to you both, and on behalf of the 550 veterans that work for the city of Colorado Springs, thank you for your service, and thank you for serving. And also to the almost 90,000 people in veterans who live in this great city of ours, I thank them too for their service and for serving. So I would be remiss if actually we, being in a military town, I'd be remiss if I didn't give my challenge coin to you both as a coin of excellence and to thank you,
thank you
for
so
serving.
Much. Thank you.
Handshake. I know
the handshake.
I'm a little short, so.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And thank you for serving the city of Colorado Springs. And I see you both. It's just, as we conclude this podcast, I just want to remind our residents that as mayor, and by law and city code, we are the three services that we provide, direct services. There are a lot of indirect services that we touch, but the most important ones are public safety, our public works, and caring for our public parks. And you both represent two of the top three needs in our community that we get to provide. So thank you. And I believe that's it for our podcast. And next time you would have Jen back, I promise.